Duchess, today is the 18th of October. Let me see if I have this up high. Yeah. Okay, I'm just testing the volume on this. I had this tape recorder fixed. Actually, I didn't have it fixed, but this colonel I know, who was a first-class pest, he had it fixed for me. And I think it's working better now. I had a lot of trouble with it. I told you, today's the 18th, right? And it's October 1969. And I have just returned last night from another trip into the Delta. These trips are hilarious, Duchess. Just out of this world. To give you an idea, I left on, I think Wednesday. Get awful mixed up with what day it is. Just a minute. Okay, I'm back again. I thought someone was knocking on the door. I don't know, this crazy maid, you know, I only see him on Saturday. Half a day on Saturday. I would get out of work at 12:30 sometimes. Didn't quite make 12:30 today. It was more like 1 o'clock. Anyway, my trip into the Delta, yes. Needless to tell you, I'm confused. I mean, I started this. I'm in the midst of doing 10,000 other things, and I have to be ready to leave in an hour or so. There's a dinner this evening over at Benoit, a cookout or something, and I have been invited to go, and I said I would. Anyway, we went on this trip into the Delta on, oh, dear me, I'm pretty sure it was Wednesday. Anyhow, I went down with Betty. We went to Vung Tau, and we stayed there one full day and one night, and we left there the morning of the next day, which was, I guess we left on Thursday, went down there, which was Friday. No, it was right, it was Wednesday. We were there Wednesday night. We left and we went to Canto on Thursday, and we stayed over Thursday night, and we came back last night. Right, okay, I'm all straightened out now. Anyway, we spent the day, and it was a good day in the club, because I went over all paperwork, you know, reports and financial sheets and statistics and all this good stuff. Then in the evening, on Wednesday night, we were invited by Lieutenant Commander of the Navy, forget what his name is, Phillips, no, Chavez, his first name is Phillips Chavez. Anyway, I didn't know too much about the Navy, I still don't know too much about the Navy, but it was a pleasant evening. We had dinner, Duchess, in his quarters. He has a beautiful air-conditioned, immaculate hooch, and there were four girls. Linda. See, Linda writes down at Vung Tau now. She was transferred down there. And Jan Huebner, who is from New Jersey. And in fact, she's from Rosedale. And then there was Betty and myself, the four of us, and this commander, lieutenant, what do I call him? Lieutenant commander, I guess. Anyway, we had two stewards waiting on us, hand and foot. You know, while we were having dinner in his room. And then afterward, we went over to the officer's club, and we had a few drinks, and he took us on a tour of the shipyard, and we went back and had a couple more drinks with some of his friends, and it was a very, very pleasant evening. The next morning, there were a few rockets came into Vung Tau, which is exceptionally rare, but I understand there was a naval officer killed, not anybody we knew, but that was an unfortunate, rare thing, because there just hasn't been any activity at Vung Tau in a long, long time. Anyway, then we went to Canto and had one hectic day at Canto. Well, we went from Vung Tau to Canto, Duchess, in a Chinook, huh, my second ride in a Chinook. It was Betty's first ride in a Chinook. What did I go to Vung Tau in? think we went to Vung Tau in a chopper. Oh, yeah, we went to Vung Tau in the dust off, one of the medevac choppers. They fly real low. They're crazy pilots, those medevacs. You know, as we got off the chopper, they were putting the patients on. But anyway, then we went to Canton, and on the plane from Vung Tau to Canton, which is it was lunchtime. We got off late. We were supposed to leave at 10:30, and we didn't leave till 12:30, something like that. So the fellows on board the Chinook gave us some sea rations, and one of the boys put a can of beans on the motor or the generator or something. Anyway, he heated up the can for me, and by the time it got hot enough, we had landed. So I opened the can, you know, it was my P-38. We had this little thing, hangs around your neck. Anyway, it's P-38, and it opens up all good cans. And I ate the beans in the back of a 3/4-ton truck on the way to the service club. That was lunch. And I had a good day in Canton. Of course, we went to the service club, and then we had to go into town and meet all these officers, you know, about getting me quarters down there. It's a real problem. I should have gone down to live there permanently 2 weeks ago, but I can't go because I haven't got any place to live. So, after we visited about 8 people, Billy and I, you know, with Captain Toms, who was the special services officer down there, and Paul Engelstad, who was the entertainment director of the Delta, and finally, Mr. Newman of Cords has agreed to let me live down there temporarily, anyway, 30 days in one of the rooms in the hotels. See, they have the Cords leases 3 hotels from the government. And the Cords people, they're just real State Department people. Their embassy and their AID and USIS. Most of the bigwigs live on the Cords compound. But you have to be at the Interior, Department of Interior, I believe, to live there. And those were those beautiful quarters I told you about. So I can't stay there. But in addition to that, they do have 3 hotels that are nothing special because one of them is just for military transits. And it's all men. I mean, there are no women in these hotels at all. And so I'll be the only female, in one of the hotels. And they're nothing special, believe me. In fact, the funniest thing about these rooms are, I've stayed there twice now, the funniest thing is the latrine. The latrine is a very small, narrow, it's some of them are long, little hallways, like, you know, and they have the commode down one end, and right next to the commode, I mean, if you're sitting on the commode and you had the shower on, you'd get soaking wet because the shower is almost right over the top of the commode. It's crazy. And so when you take a shower, everything gets wet. You know, the seat, the toilet seat, the toilet paper, everything just gets soaking wet. And the water goes all over the floor. I mean, there's nothing. It's just, there's holes on the end of the floor that drains off or something. But there's no special place for the shower. It's right in the middle of the walkway. And the sink is down the opposite end. It's the craziest little hall. And they're all like that, all the rooms. It just makes me laugh. And there isn't any hot water. It's all ice cold water, which after you get used to hot water, you get spoiled. Anyway, I'll be living there. Needless to say, I'm not jumping with joy about it, but it will do. Now, what happens after 30 days, I don't know. I haven't the vaguest idea what will happen to me because there just isn't any place for me to stay in Canton. The big thing, Duchess, is latrines. They could find a room. But, you know, the latrine facilities are shared by the men. There might be 15, 20 men using a particular latrine, like community latrines, you know. And that just won't go with a female. So, of course, everybody offered me their room to share it. You know, nobody wanted to give it to me alone, but everybody said they'd be only too happy to share it. One man told me he works nights so that I could have it at night and he'd have it during the daytime and all that stuff. But seriously, it's hard, very hard. So, this took all day Friday. Thursday night we were in Canton, and Paul and Betty and I drank a whole bottle of Cutty-Sark in our hotel room. Paul, he has a room in one of the hotels, the Cord hotels. They have 3 of them, I think, 3 or 4, I don't know. And he kept running back and forth getting the ice. He's very, very nice. You would love him. He's like a David Niven. You know, he's that distinguished type. And actually, he was in he's a director, an orchestra director, symphony director. Yeah, he's, plus he's got other talents, I think. I mean, he's, you know, he's art and he's a creative type thing. He's, and he looks the part. Anyway, he's very, very good. He carts Betty and I all over the place when we go down there. Because we don't have transportation of any kind. Okay, then on the way home, we still had to catch a flight. See, we were manifesting on a flight about 1 o'clock. But we had this appointment at 2:30. And so we missed our flight. We stayed down there to keep this appointment so I could get this temporary quarters. And then there wasn't anything flying out of Canto to a Long Bin at all. And it turned out we took a flight from Canto to Saigon. We didn't want to do this, Duchess, because we didn't want to go into Saigon. We wanted to go to Long Bin. But as I said, we couldn't get anything. And at 5:30, we got on board a 123. C-123, and they're terrible. They're great big sweat boxes. You know, you climb in and you sit on these nets and all this stuff. 5,000 other GIs. Anyway, that's what we got. And when we got manifested on, they had no seats, see? But one of the boys down there, I kind of know him now because I've been bugging him for weeks on these trips, you know. And he got Billy and I a ride. And then this major I had been talking to, he was going to Long Bin too, and he said, if you can get me a ride to Saigon, I'll get you a ride up to Long Bin. So I said, okay. So I talked to this boy Mike and asked him if he'd get this major on. So he did. He got the major on the flight, and the major kept saying, don't worry, he said, I'm going to get you to Long Bin. And this major is a tall, good-looking Negro major. His name is Major Mitchell, Stanley Mitchell. He's just marvelous. And so anyway, we went to Saigon, and when we got to Saigon, we missed the last bus. There's a bus that leaves at 6 o'clock from Saigon to Long Bin, but we got in a little bit late, so we missed that. And so Major Mitchell was trying to get this Jeep to come pick him up, which it finally did. But of course, the roads are closed, Duchess. Once it gets dark, see all the roads, and you can't ride them. So we went to his office down there. He has offices all over. He's in charge of EOD, and that's the Explosive Ordnance Disposal. They handle oil, bombs, anything of explosives, dynamite, that kind of thing. Anything that'll blow up, they handle. And it was very interesting meeting all these people. So he took us to his office, and we had a daiquiri there. And he got us a ride over to this other camp, Newport, to catch a convoy. Now get this, don't you? We're catching a convoy out of Saigon to bring us up to Long Bin. See, this is the only safe way you can travel, is if you're guarded by machine guns and tanks and all that stuff. So they didn't have anything for us to ride in, but this X, not X, it's a V-100. And what it is, Duchess, and it's hard to describe it, but it's between a tank and an APC. The closest thing you would recognize it to be is a tank that has wheels. Instead of the tracks, it has wheels, but it looks just like a tank. So Billy and I, can you imagine, and Billy's quite heavy, you know, she's quite stout, Duchess, and she's short, and we go crawling in this thing. I was laughing so hard, because here it is, about, you know, it's pitch dark, and we have no light, and we're crawling in this tank, and the man has slipped front, and we have a man on the top turret, and a man on the front turret, and everybody's got machine guns, see? And you have to lie down. You can't even sit up in this thing because it's so low. It's very flat, see? It's amphibious. It should go on land or on water. And it cranks up like an old airplane, you know? And I had bullets. I was sitting on loads and loads of bullets and guns and all. I could have gone to sleep, though. I was most comfortable, really. But I was flat on my back. Flat on my back. And so was Betty. And we had this little porthole to climb into. So meanwhile, the radio's going, you know, and they're talking back and forth. We have this big convoy. Here we are in this night convoy all the way up to Long Bin. After about almost an hour in this machine, it was great because we had a lot of air coming in, and it wasn't warm or anything. It was just pitch black and all this noise. Then this crazy machine breaks down. This V-100 breaks down right on the bridge. So the convoy went and left us. Now, we were supposed to be guarding the convoy. Anyway, they called on the radio, and two MPs came down with mounted machine guns, you know, all over, and they got us out of this tank. I was laughing so hard. We got out of this tank and we jumped in the MP Jeeps and they raced us up here along them. So we thought that was a little different, something a little exciting, you know, something unique. By the time we got up here, it was after 9 o'clock, it was close to 9:30, I think, and they dropped us off at the Provost Marshal compound, and we had to get a ride down here. So the major took us over to his compound. Oops, I think you have to turn over, don't you? Pretty soon. Anyway, he took us over to his unit, because we were starving. We hadn't eaten since 11:30 yesterday afternoon, and here it was 9:30 again in the evening. So they had steaks, and we ate one down, we had one drink, and we left. And that was the experience going home. Turn over.